This means that Donald Trump will be the 45th president of the United States.
This is your life now. This is our election now. This is us. This is our country. It's real.
Hey, listeners, welcome back to the 45th. It's Rabia, and I'm here with Susan. Hey, Susan.
Georgia,
girl, you brought it home.
Stacey Abrams brought it home.
She is my hero.
She is the queen.
Amazing. I was up. Okay, so we're recording this Friday morning. Hopefully, by the end of the day, this will be have dropped, and also we have some more progress in this. But yeah, people were just waiting for those the Atlanta votes to come in, for some of the other bluer counties to come in. But let's back up a bit. Yeah.
Georgia.
All right, let's talk Georgia.
Okay, so Georgia has been hinting at going blue for a while, but not quite pulling it off, not quite delivering. And
well, that's because of, it kept getting stolen, but anyway.
Yeah. This time around, it's been in play for a while. And as of, something called yet officially has it. Oh, that's right. Pennsylvania beat us to the punch. I was hoping a little bit that Georgia would be the one that tips over, but looks like PA did that.
Yeah. Now Georgia has not yet been officially called. Pennsylvania has not been called as far as I know. I checked like 10 minutes ago, but Biden's ahead in these states. He's ahead in Arizona. He's ahead in these other two states. We've got also North Carolina still in play in Nevada, where I think Trump has a very narrow lead. And the Nevada memes have been like the only saving grace of this entire week.
I am enjoying the Nevada memes for sure. But part of me is like, why is Alaska being left out of the mockery? Like, they're still doing their stuff. Their counting's still going. Slower.
That's true. But I think nobody cares because Alaska's not going to be close. I mean, yeah, it's not going to be close. Where do you know? It's going to be red, so nobody is like holding their breath for it. Or the other states, it's real close. I mean, like, Arizona could turn blue. I mean, we were hoping for Texas, didn't happen, but it's okay.
No. Well, okay. So Tuesday night was the election. I was not feeling totally, the polling looked good.
But
the polling did look good. And by that, I mean, even if the worst case scenario happened, like, Biden's still in good position. Guess what? Worst case polling scenario did happen. But Biden's still in good position. What is not in a good position is the House and possibly the Senate. But that's in a second. Anyway, Tuesday night, it felt fine. It felt okay. And then Florida went to Florida. And I definitely started having some flashbacks to 2016. Just a little bit. Just for a moment.
Yeah. I mean, I did, but I don't know if there was only one brief moment that I remember that Trump was ahead of Biden in the electoral votes. And I know that's not like
and
the
that
way
was just
to gauge it. Right, exactly. But for the most of the part, I mean, I don't know. I had like this really, up until Tuesday, I was very stressed and, sharing the stress with the entire nation. But I had this weird, like, calm sense. Like, it was zen on Tuesday. I was just, like, blissed out, and I don't even get high. I think it was probably because I felt like we've done everything we can do. I know so many people who have been working so hard organizing battleground states across country. And I'm like, we've done everything we can do. Now, some of the returns were surprising. Like, for example, in Florida, Trump got a big hand from Latino voters, and he seemed to be doing better with Black male voters, apparently, than he did last time around. So there was
there's definitely a reckoning to be done there. I mean, I just never really thought that Biden was going to lose. The thing that's been worrying me, or had been worrying me, was what happens after. Mm-hmm. And my nightmare scenario was a narrow Biden win, a 2-3% Biden win, which case, I mean, I think we'd be in a different world right now than we are. Mm. If Trump was hoping for that world, he was preparing for it.
Yeah.
And I think that's why the worst is not going to pass, is that Biden's win, what wasn't like the 7-8% that we were hoping for, that would put it beyond any sort of question. But, it was probably in the 4-5, maybe 6, yeah, 4, let's call it 5% range. Yeah. And that's just too big for even Trump's shenanigans to mess with. Like, it's beyond the margin of fuckery here.
I mean, nobody apparently has told Trump that.
But Trump's not the problem, because Trump is going to be Trump. Like, he's not going to concede. He's not going to do anything. It was never about how Trump himself would react, because it'd be the same at like a 1% win by Biden versus like a 20% win by Biden. The question is how everyone around him reacts.
Oh, no, that's absolutely true. First of all, I do want to note that Biden has gotten more votes than anybody in the history of the United States. I mean, like, so he's gotten, I think he's got almost 4 million more votes than Trump at this point. But I mean, like,
heading to five or six, it looks like.
Yeah. And so the turnout has been huge. And like, it's interesting, like the reactions, like I keep on one hand, I've seen a lot of disappointment from Democrats because what they wanted was a landslide very early. And
if
it's
that
like,
happened, they'd still be disappointed. Let's be real.
I mean, maybe. I don't know. I don't know what they want. But I think Biden has a really strong showing, in fact. I mean, you know, Georgia, it's been a long time since Georgia went blue. When is the last time that happened? I don't even know. Okay. So, yeah, I mean, like, so he's pulled off he's flipped a couple of different states, it looks like, at this point. I think he's had a good showing. Now, I read this morning that Trump's closest advisors, and I think this is what's really problematic, are still not giving him the reckoning that he needs. They are apparently still telling him this is about fraud. This is about, like, it's being stolen from you. And so he came out last night and he gave a statement that was... I mean,
well, he started on as we probably could guess, Tuesday night. He came out what? I was long asleep. No, he came out with a statement at like 4 a.m., whatever.
I was awake.
I was not, but he declared, well, let's hear it.
We were getting ready to win this election. Frankly, we did win this election. We did win this election. So our goal now is to ensure the integrity. For the good of this nation, this is a very big moment. This is a major fraud in our nation. We want the law to be used in a proper manner. So we'll be going to the U.S. Supreme Court. We want all voting to stop. We don't want them to find any ballots at 4 o'clock in the morning and add them to the list. Okay? It's a very sad... It's a very sad moment. To me, this is a very sad moment. And we will win this. And we, as far as I'm concerned, we already have won it. So I just want to thank you. And I want to thank all of our support. I want to thank all of the people that worked with us. And Mr. Vice
Yeah, President. Which is extremely disturbing. That's not a great thing from a president. But he also chose it at a time when most people... Unlike Rabia and me, well, unlike Rabia, we're asleep. At least most normal.
Listen,
Americans.
All my Twitter friends were awake. Okay. All right, that's all I know.
Okay. The Twitter people were all up and active, but yeah. the normies were, you know, they missed this little drama.
And Steve Kornacki hasn't slept in 8 months, so I don't know. That poor man.
So, and then on Wednesday, they were actually extremely subdued.
Right, they were quite.
It was pretty. When I woke up on Wednesday, it was pretty clear Biden's going to win. And the reaction from the Trump world was, you know, let's wait and see. I think they were still maybe hoping that the numbers would turn somehow. And it wasn't really until Thursday that they started picking up, or late Wednesday maybe, they started picking up again with this whole fraud thing, mm-hmm. Which they have now gone full-throatedly into. But I also want to point out...
Some of them. Yeah.
We are heading now to what looks like it could be almost a repeat of electoral college totals from 2016, only this time... Biden has the advantage.
In reverse,
but
yeah.
To get what is likely the same result, Republicans had -2% of the popular vote. And Biden will likely have about 5%. So that's a 7% swing to get the same outcome. So for anyone who's disappointed out there, like, it ain't the Democrats who dropped the ball there. It is the constitutional system we're under.
Right, right. I mean, and then on Thursday, he gave another statement, and this was, what happened last evening was actually kind of interesting. It's the first time I think I've seen this happen, that every single news outlet cut away from him, including Fox.
I was watching Fox. It did not.
Oh, Fox is the only one that showed it. Okay.
Fox did not cut.
CNN, MSNBC, anybody else who's carrying it live just cut away and was like, nope, it's all lies.
Because he's old news. He's boring now. He's been boring. He has no right to their attention. So they're ready to next him.
And I've noticed that like the New York Times, like the headlines are getting more and more like, oh, Trump keeps lying. I mean, yeah, we wish he would have done that like 4 years ago or maybe even five when he was campaigning. But, you know, I guess better late than never.
it is, I mean, it is abundantly clear that absent some, well, if this was a normal election, it would have been called quite a while ago because there's not been a path forward for some time. But for obvious reasons, various news outlets, Biden's campaign, everyone's kind of been like a little bit hands off about it, like, yeah, let's let the count continue and see what happens.
Yeah, even though
mathematically everyone knew it was going to happen.
Yeah. And you know what it is? They want, they, I think what they want to do is be able to claim the victory when like it's just indisputable, right? They don't want to do it in the margins. They want to do it when it's like, they don't want just, they want all the states, right? They want as many as they can get, no matter how long it drip, drip, drips. Now, what's interesting is last couple of days, while there has been a lot of noise, like by Trump, by his sons, Uday and Guse, and Giuliani, who actually took a road trip. I think, where did they go? To Philly or did they go to Georgia? They went somewhere together and made some noise. But Philly. A lot of the, Philly, a lot of the GOP leadership has been completely quiet and they've been very upset about that. They're like, you know, oh yeah, we're noticing the people who are not stepping up, not saying anything. Lindsey Graham was specifically called out by Donald Trump Jr. And then the next day he appears on Fox and says, I'm going to pledge $500,000 dollars to...
Not the next day. Within 10 minutes, he tweeted he's going to be on Fox that night.
Oh, was it that night?
Yeah, like, within, like, I mean,
it's
when
been,
Don
like, one
Jr.,
long day for me, I'm sorry.
When Don Jr. tweets at Graham, like, jump, Graham is like, which Fox show do you want me to jump on?
You know, I was surprised at that because I thought Graham had won his election at that
he's
point.
He's got some freedom, but he's not free of Trumpism and never will be.
Huh. Well, I just figured, okay,
but
he's a little freer. Right. And so the fact that he did jump within minutes, as you said, it just, to me, it's like he knows this is a sinking ship. Why is he still doing this? Why is he still jumping through their hoops? I don't understand.
Primary voters are still Trumpy. And he's sure he's got 6 years till the next one. But like, he ain't free of them. He's free enough where he didn't have to say a word for 3 days. But that doesn't mean he can blow them off entirely.
Yeah. And what is he donating $500,000 to?
Oh, I missed that part.
Oh, yeah. He's personally donating $500,000 to, I think, Trump's election, like some kind of legal fund to
Graham
help defend the election. Yes. He
oh, geez.
That.
Okay. I thought he was freer than that. Maybe he's totally.
No. I'm like, what? Yeah. And considering he was begging for money up until not too long ago, but this was like a personal pledge. So it is what it is. But Mitch McConnell, I think, finally said something this morning, but it was kind of a...
He subtweeted, but who cares? It's hard to tell who he's subtweeting. It's a neutral, like, let's count all the votes, but not the illegal ones.
Whatever. Well, he just said, let's call all the legal votes. And I mean, to me, I think that just means let's count all the votes. I mean,
no, it's nonsense framing that they're adopting here. All the Republicans are doing it now to try and count out of Trump, where they're saying they're adopting his language of like, there are illegal votes we got to not count, as if that was the thing. Like, there aren't illegal votes that could have any effect on any election. So the whole idea of count the legal votes, not the legal ones, that's adopting this bullshit voter fraud narrative.
Yeah. And speaking of which, to that end, there was a flurry of lawsuits, I think filed on Wednesday, in a couple different states. Let's see. There was one in Georgia. It was dismissed. State Republicans had filed to prevent the unlawful counting of ballots received after the election. That was dismissed. There was one in Michigan. The state court judge dismissed a lawsuit brought by the campaign that asked for an immediate halt to the vote counting until its representatives had meaningful access to ballot counting and adjudication, except that they already did. They were there the whole time. Then they filed in Pennsylvania in federal court, and the judge there was like, they had a tiny little bit of a win, but it makes no meaningful difference to the outcome. It was just that Trump observers could stand like closer to counting, I guess. That was it. And then there was yesterday the campaign announced a suit in Nevada over irregular votes. But it seems like in every one of these lawsuits, there's just they don't provide any evidence at all for any of their claims. They just, it's like somebody said something. So it's either hearsay or just nothing.
In Nevada, did you see that woman they brought on? Grinnell and some nameless Trump campaign or administration gremlin got up there and they said, oh, there's been all this like voter fraud here. And they had this woman get up to say like, oh, I went in to vote and they told me my vote had already been cast. And then it turns out like they talked to the clerk, the reporters talked to the clerk, and her signature was on both the vote she cast in person and the one she cast by mail. Like, she just voted twice. Maybe she forgot she voted by mail. I don't know. But either way, like,
she tried to commit voter fraud inadvertently
or
otherwise.
I will give her the benefit of the doubt, and she forgot that she voted by mail, but still awkward. There is no voter fraud. That's not the problem. The problem in America is not voter fraud. It is suppression. It is getting people not able to vote in the first place. Once they voted, it's pretty secure.
Yeah. Yesterday, there was another lawsuit by the Republicans, but they withdrew a case in, that was centered on Philadelphia County. So, yeah, they're not doing too well in court, and the tiny little wins they've had have been procedural. And so I read in one report that there are legal experts like on both sides who are reviewing the lawsuits. And by the way, it has been reported that Trump himself is directing the legal strategy, which might explain.
Explains a lot.
Right. and lawyers on both sides are like, we don't understand like the objective of the cases, because there's just none of them, even if they were to prevail on any of the cases, it wouldn't make a significant enough difference to like turn the tide for Trump in any of those states. But something interesting that the Biden lawyer named Bob Bauer said is that Trump's lawsuits challenging vote counting aren't designed to win in court, but to spread misinformation and encourage thuggish behavior by his supporters.
Again, if this election had been closer, we'd be in a different world right now. And we would be seeing, I think, a much more troubling response. Mm-hmm. I think the reason I have not really, I mean, I've been following the results. I've been caring. I was happy this morning when I saw that they finally were calling the obvious. But the reason I haven't felt tense or unduly concerned is because Fox News signaled early on, actually shockingly early on,
Fox has been ahead.
They were no longer in Trump's corner. They bailed on him. In fact, Fox News on Tuesday night called Arizona for Biden, which, by the way, was not an appropriate call for anything I've seen. Like, maybe they're going to be right, but it actually seems kind of questionable that they. Yeah. So Fox is out there, and then Trump apparently was like, as one reporter said, incandescent with rage, because it was a bullshit call.
The campaign called. Yeah. Apparently Don Jr. called Fox and was like, you have to retract this. They've tried multiple times to pressure them to retract that call, and they just refused to do it. So if you look across the different media, they actually, their ballot count, like their electoral vote count for Biden has always been higher than every other platform.
And Trump's entire plan depended on him being able to control the narrative on Tuesday night to say like, oh, I won, and make it feel like he won, and to make everyone have to deal with this narrative he's pushing out. And then when the blue shift or whatever happened over the next few days, they could claim in a way that may seem more credible there was fraud. Fox News torpedoed that plan even before it became clear that plan was not going to work, because
the editorial teams did. But I think there is a distinction to be made between like their news desk, which I think has become clear, and it's been like a head-on clash in the last few days, because you've got their news team that has repeatedly, I've seen it numerous times, because that's actually, I've been following them, saying that, you know, the Trump campaign is claiming fraud, but we see no evidence. We need some evidence. There's no evidence. And then switch to Tucker Carlson or Laura Ingraham, who are like, oh, there's definitely claim. Like, they're actually going head to head. They're like, there are fraud.
There are not, though, actually. At least when I watched it for a whole evening, Fox News. I survived AMA. but they were actually, even Tucker, even Hannity, even Laura Ingraham.
Maybe last night, but Wednesday, it wasn't like that. It wasn't like that.
No, I watched it all night. They were on Wednesday? Yeah, they were complaining, but they were not endorsing the frauding. They were saying, oh, the procedures were bad, or oh, look at they don't want to have observers there.
I'll find the clip. I literally tweeted a clip with Laura Ingraham actually talking about the fraud stuff. And I was like, how can she do this when her own news desk is saying there's actually no evidence for this? I think that was on Wednesday when that happened, but maybe their tone changed. I mean, as the returns kept coming in, maybe the tone changed. I thought it's interesting. I wonder, and I bet you Trump has tried, like he always does, to get on the air with some of them, like Fox. This morning, Fox and Friends, they were just the saddest group you ever saw. but you know how he loves to call in? Because he hasn't been anywhere.
They wouldn't let him call in now, not during this.
You don't think so? I'm surprised they haven't.
His spokesmen can be there. They let people like Pam Bondi come on. But even Pam Bondi, like, they were pushing back hard against her. She got on and said, like, fake ballots. Mm-hmm. And the Fox and Friend crew were like, excuse me, what?
Yeah.
And she was like, put her hand on an oven or something. She was so startled they pushed back on that. But they weren't, they're done with it. Basically, anyway, my point being, Fox is done with it. They are not going to play this game. They're not going to endorse this, actually, he won for real narrative. And without that, I think Trump is done. He's done for. Like, that's the one thing Trump needs and the one thing he actually can't control.
Well, that's why in a couple of places where MAGA protesters showed up, you know, one of the chants was that Fox News sucks. They were very upset at Fox News.
And don't get me wrong, there could still be danger. There's still, you know, OAN and social media. He can reach his, you know, more extremist supporters that way. But what he can't reach is the general average everyday Trump supporter and get them on board with this narrative.
And look, even on Twitter, I mean, if you look back over the last 3 days, Twitter has censored, I don't even know, like pages and pages of tweets. His entire feed. Barely anything can get through. You know, it's, and I'm like, it's about time. They should have done this a long time ago. They also signaled, by the way, there's a report yesterday saying that after January 20th, he will not have the protections that he's been afforded by Twitter all this time. He won't.
He's going to get banned.
He's going to get banned.
Just like Bannon, who called for the decapitation of Fauci.
We got to talk about this.
Oh, my God.
Actually, let's listen to this clip.
And that's the second term. Second term kicks off with firing Ray, firing Fauci. Now, I actually want to go a step farther, but I realize the president is a kind-hearted man and a good man. I'd actually like to go back to the old times of Tudor England. I'd put the heads on pikes, right? I'd put them at the two corners of the White House as a warning to federal bureaucrats. You either get with the program or you're gone. Time to stop playing games. Blow it all out. Put Rick Grenell today as the interim head of the FBI. That'll light him up, right?
You know what, Steve? Just yesterday, there was the anniversary of the hanging of two Tories in Philadelphia. These were Quaker businessmen who had cohabitated, if you will, with the British while they were occupying Philadelphia. These people were hung. This is what we used to do to traitors.
That's how you won the revolution. Nobody wants to talk about it. Revolution wasn't some sort of garden party, right? It was not. It was a civil war. It was a civil war. Remember also in the revolution.
Bannon making the argument, not just the argument, he's saying that Fauci should be beheaded along with FBI Director Chris Wray. Why is he angry at Chris Wray? I forget.
Because Wray wouldn't charge people like they wanted. Oh. He wouldn't pull the Comey that happened in 2016.
Why not Barr? He don't want Barr's head on it. Where is Barr? What's happening?
Barr is trying to lay low.
It's been a long time since. Some people are saying Barr is going to wait and see how things play out, and then he's going to decide where the best DOJ, you know, he could best serve the president by bringing lawsuits or doing DOJ investigations or something like that, but I don't think so.
Barr was in it for himself and his agenda. Barr was never a true Trumpist in the sense that he personally supports Trump. Yeah. He is the epitome of, like, Trump is a blunt instrument approach of Republicanism.
I think
Barr,
that's true for a lot of the Republicans. I think, you know, only the most vocal ones.
I think Barr would have done what Trump wanted and, you know, done some shenanigans, forced the Durham report. He would have gone there if he'd seen, like, a decent chance of a good return. Mm-hmm. If he thought the results would justify the sacrifice of his own, like, credibility. Sure, he'd gone there. But I think he made the calculation that, like, why bother? It's not going to help. This whole Hunter thing is a dumb gambit to begin with. It's not going to make a difference in the election. So why sacrifice himself for that stupid play?
Well, along with Ray, there's Fauci. And you know what? For Bannon to say that they should be an example with their heads on stakes to bureaucrats who will not get with the program, meaning basically just being like lockstep with the president no matter what he does and where he goes, no matter what's happening. And right now, Dr. Fauci is like, we're about to enter what's going to be the worst phase of this virus, the darkest phase, because it's, you've got winter, you've got the virus is exploding. And of course, we have been too busy to really pay attention, but let's still talk about this for a little bit. Right now, we've hit well over 9.6 million cases in the United States. As of this morning, 235,030 Americans are dead from the virus, and we are just hitting new records. The U.S. yesterday reported 116,707 new coronavirus infections. And I remember back, back months ago, a long time ago, Fauci had said that there will be a point in time where we're going to hit consistently over 100,000 cases a day. And not taken seriously. As of Thursday, 20 states saw their highest daily counts, and fatalities across the country exceeded 1,000 deaths a day for the third consecutive day. Now, interestingly enough, the Associated Press found that 93% of the U.S. counties, well, I mean, it makes sense, with the U.S. counties, the highest number of new coronavirus cases per capita, voted to reelect President Trump. Yep. Because, of course, they did. I mean, the reason they have those high, the highest numbers is because they listened to him and didn't wear masks and didn't socially distance.
And they're live in places where they don't have good policies in place to try and stop the spread.
Right. And they maybe just still don't see the connection between what's happening and what they're experiencing and the failed leadership of Trump on this issue. I don't know.
And guess what? Trump is still in charge for the next 3 months almost.
Yeah. I mean, we're going to continue to spiral out of control until Biden.
I'm worried. I'm really worried.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I think this is a time where like people need to stay home for so many reasons. Number one, I think because of COVID, we need to be the way we were back in March when this thing first hit, like be that careful. But also because you're right. We don't know how the election's going to go. Trump, I think, is going to continue to try to incite people. He can't get a lot of messaging out on Twitter, but Facebook just doesn't give a shit. And YouTube,
he can just keep on tweeting and getting it censored.
I mean, but there will always be diehard people. And many of these supporters really do believe that this election is getting stolen right in front of their eyes. They actually sincerely believe it.
Oh, they do. Because my hobby for entertainment during stressful times is to look and see what QAnon people are talking about.
Oh God. Yeah. And there was an arrest made last night where a family or a couple of folks from Virginia had planned to attack one of the ballot counting centers in Philly and were on the en route there to do so. And they were arrested and intervened.
So you know what the QAnon current theory is about what's going on?
I know there's gotta be something crazy. Go ahead.
Watermarks.
Wait, what?
Watermarks.
What does that have to do with anything?
Apparently, there's all the real ballots have secret watermarks on them. And that's how you can tell from the fake ballots. And all of this whole fake out, like Biden seeming to win the election thing, it's really a sting operation. Because Trump is just waiting to unleash the full weight of the DOJ on the Biden and his phony companions when they reveal that actually all these fake ballots for Biden don't have watermarks on them.
Oh, my God.
Yep.
I mean, the thing is, like, nobody could sincerely actually believe this is true.
But they do.
No, I mean, the people who actually, like, this is a conspiracy that has to be coming from some kind of foreign end. It just has to.
No. This is just fully native stupidity going on here.
So even in red states, Republican-controlled states, this is happening. Like, you know, and it just so happens that as people walk in to cast their vote, they are somehow already, like, people know what kind of ballot to give them.
Well, no, they're saying that there's the people who walk in and vote, they use a special watermark ballot. But then when the Democrats dump in fake ballots, they don't have watermarks. So all the stuff that got dumped in after the vote will be unwatermarked is the basic theory we're going. But these are the people who believe in mole children living underneath New York City in tunnels. Yeah. So let's not overthink it too far.
No, I know there is this theory that or Trump is alleging that, you know, these counties are finding votes that suddenly favor Biden. And oh my gosh, how is 120,000 in all of them? But, you know, but at the same time, he's also alleging, and he has from the beginning, that people who all the mail-in ballots, like, they cannot be trusted. Because, I mean, he himself encouraged his voters not to use mail-in ballots. He encouraged them to do walk-in on the same day. So he had a huge burst. And then those ballots couldn't be counted until the in-person ballots were counted. And that's what's happening now. And they, by and large, favor Biden. And then that was his in to discredit them by saying that these were, I don't know what, but they're filled out by dead people or multiple people, or they're just manufacturing them now after the fact. But interestingly enough, apparently this morning, an email was sent out by the Trump campaign to voters in Pennsylvania asking them if they have not submitted their mail-in absentee ballot yet, please do so.
Yeah, that's weird. I'm at this point, I'm still willing to believe that was a badly timed, like, email blast. I got, you know, miscalculated when they planned it, like, time. Yeah, whatever. We'll see.
It was scheduled wrong.
Yeah, I think it was a schedule. Like, I'm willing to believe it's scheduling error until I learn
totally
otherwise.
Totally not. I mean, look, I think that even if he encourages his own voters to commit fraud, any allegation of fraud could undermine the election to the point where he's like, I'm going to challenge these results.
He already encouraged him to vote twice.
Right.
We should also note that QAnon ain't just people talking about watermarks, because we got, like, what, two or three of them now elected to the House?
I thought it was only one.
No, there's at least two. I think there's possibly three. Yeah. The QAnoners are coming from inside the house, quite literally.
Wow. And that's crazy.
This is a rhetorical question, but like, do they keep being QAnon people after they become part of the government, can see inside? Yeah, of course they will. Yeah, but still.
Yeah. Oh, that happens all the time, though. And I can tell you, I mean, even it's from the Muslim community, like we have our conspiracy theorists forever saying how, you know, the not just conspiracy, but this is how the community feels, that the government's against us and it's the man. And then, but at the same time, they'll encourage Muslim politicians like Rashida Tlaib, like Ilhan Omar, to become part of the machine. And then just be like, okay, now you're part of the machine. Like, they don't make the distinction. They still think that these are resistors inside the machine. And so, you know, they're able to square that circle. The Senate map, although it wasn't looking great to begin with, and it's still not looking too clear, but it isn't final right now. We have flipped a couple of seats. Apparently, Dems defeated a Republican incumbent in Colorado. They held a seat in Michigan. And they have been leading a GOP-held seat in Arizona, not final, but I think Kelly is quite far ahead. North Carolina, Alaska, and one Georgia seat remain uncalled, but it looks like Georgia's going to keep us on our toes till January.
Yeah, I'm sorry, though, if men could, like, keep it in their pants, the whole world would be better off right now. Because North Carolina, I thought we had that one with freaking Tillis and Cunningham.
I have no idea what you're referring
really?
To.
Oh, and the Tillis is North Carolina incumbent, and his Democratic challenger seemed like he had a really good chance against him. I mean, maybe the polling was off, but he seemed like he had a pretty good chance.
Oh, no, this is the guy who was caught having an affair?
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know.
You think that's really what did it? I mean, North Carolina's a red
state. Pretty close, though. He's pretty close. And, yeah, just saying the control of the Senate could
this runoff election.
Just, yeah.
Look, so
double runoff all the way in Georgia.
Yeah, and that could actually give us control of the Senate. And look, given what Stacey Abrams has managed to do, you can, and by the way, if you live in Georgia, two things. Number one, you have until December 7th to register, and if you haven't, and take part in the special election. Number two, anybody who's 17 and is, I think, going to turn 18 before that time can also do that or something. But anyhow, like, the point is, I think Stacey Abrams is going to be able to organize enough people to win this because, I mean, the state's already turned blue.
Well, the odds are, I mean, if there's no Trump in the ballot to pull out the Trumpsters. But then again, let's remember, Trump is running behind. I think basically, not everywhere, but like most places, Trump is running behind the Senate and congressional candidates.
That's true.
So, I mean, it's possible that actually his absence could boost up the Republican numbers. Who knows? But definitely worth a real good shot there.
Yeah, get all the 17-year-olds on TikTok to.
yeah. You're turning 18 by the January election.
Yeah.
Go freaking register.
Yeah, exactly. Any changes have happened? Let me check my phone Nevada's update yesterday, which we've been waiting for all night. Finally, they came out and gave their update. They're like, yeah, we're going to have this ready by Sunday. And then we have more ballots coming in that we have to accept until Tuesday. So I think everybody's like, thanks, Nevada. We're just going to move on. I think Pennsylvania.
Hey, look, Florida screwed the pooch in 2000 and they learned. They got it together. They had their results out quick, even with mail-in voting. So it's possible. And maybe with some, like, national scorn, we'll convince other states like Pennsylvania and Nevada to get it together, too.
I think Pennsylvania can deliver the results today, to be
honest. But still, that's way too long. Even with the mail-in votes, like, come on. But then again, they were not allowed to count until the election, which did not help. So what happens next, now that Trump has been defeated and all the networks are acknowledging it, and it's almost certainly he was defeated. He lost the vote, popular vote for sure. He definitely lost enough states for electoral college to give the win to Biden.
Girl, he said yesterday, if you count only the legal votes, I won. He still is not accepting
it, he will never concede. There's no universe which he'll concede. If he concedes, I will be shocked. I mean, I know there's a plan by some Trump advisors apparently to convince him that for the Trump brand, it's best for him to concede and like gracefully exit. But like,
also part of that plan is then they're trying to convince him, listen, we're going to be well positioned for a 2024 run. So they're trying, and I think that's just bullshit until he gets out. It's like luring an animal out of hiding and then you like put away the treat. and, yeah, that they're just going to do that to get him out, and then he'll. But he is going to demand recounts in all these a lot of these swing states, right? I mean, that's what I expect. Right. Yeah,
if he can pay for him, or if they're allowed by the local law, and sure, why not? Who cares?
Right.
So this is why it was also dangerous, though, and why it was a disaster to ever put that man in office, because everyone knew. Everyone knows he ain't going to concede. And if it had been a closer election, that just could have caused, it was a tail risk, but like, I think the capacity for destruction was pretty severe there. And we dodged a bullet.
Yeah. In 2016, he was asked, will you concede the election? And he, against Hillary, if you lose. And he said, I will if I win. That's always been him. That's him.
So he's trying. He can not concede because he's not gonna. The question is, will the rest of the Republicans join him or not? And I think the answer has been
no.
Mostly not. Like lukewarm. Like they're not gonna abandon him. They're not gonna flee him. They're not gonna repudiate him. They're gonna probably pretend that this 4 years never happened the way it happened. But they're not gonna. They're not gonna burn that bridge. But they ain't walking back over it right now.
Yeah. They're just gonna maintain a safe distance. And but here's the thing. So we've got 3 more months of Trump, at least. And I guess, what other havoc do you think we could expect in these 3 months?
Funny you ask, because a recent news update, as in like past half hour, came out that Trump is planning to fire Esper and Haskell from defense and CIA.
See, he cannot fire somebody who's already ready to resign, because this morning it was reported that Defense Secretary Esper has his resignation letter ready.
See, I think that actually was misconstrued, though, because it's pretty common for all cabinet secretaries to put an undated letter together like that during times of transition. I think it was important because it was a sign he basically was acknowledging Trump had lost.
Right.
But it was not so much an actual resignation. However, Trump is now like just going to go for it. The one person he might not fire, even though he wants to fire him the most, is Ray.
Barr. Oh, okay.
No, I think Barr is still somehow okay with Trump. But Ray, if Trump fires him, well, that should most certainly mean that Biden will get to choose his own FBI director for 6 years. Everyone else in the cabinet, you know, can be replaced by Biden when he comes in. But Ray has a 6-year term. So if Trump gets rid of him, he'd be doing Biden a favor.
Mm. So are you saying Biden can't get rid of Ray?
I mean, could, because Trump got rid of Comey, but like, right. He probably wouldn't, and it'd be bad. Like, that's not how they're supposed to be done. They're not supposed to be revolving doors with new administrations. They're supposed to have 6 years. They come in, do 6, and then next one. Yeah.
I mean, apparently,
Mitch McConnell. Ray's okay. Like, Ray's fine. Like, not great, but like, that's not my concern right now.
So he's getting ready to fire some folks. And what is that going to do for him? What's the point here?
I mean, I think it's just venting, to be honest.
He's scorched earth. I mean, like, what? He's just going to take everybody down.
I think he's wanted to do it and he's not been allowed to. So
what else can we expect, do you think, other than inciting the violence? I mean, the barricades have gone up around the White House for the election. I don't think they're ever going to go down.
He ain't going to do shit to stop COVID.
Right. We know that.
Why would he? He's going to try and like profit every last way he can on the way out the door.
I have been wondering what's going to happen with him and his allies, not American allies, but his allies like Putin and MBS and Erdogan.
I don't give a shit.
And what they're going to squeeze out of him in the next 3 months, because then he's like, he's going to go from a useful idiot to a useless idiot. You know, he's not going to attend the inauguration for sure.
Oh, there's no way.
What about like the prospect of him being prosecuted? Do you think that's like
not. Okay. So going forward, like, that's, you know what, if New York State wants to do that, then that's New York State's whatever. Mm-hmm. I very much hope that Biden's DOJ, whoever is leading it, does not go that route, because I just don't see any good to come from it.
Yeah, I guess we feel really differently about that.
Yeah, I just feel like, okay, sure, it might be emotionally satisfying or something, but like,
no, it's not. It has not. I swear to God, it has nothing to do with emotionally satisfying. These are things he should have been prosecuted for long, long ago. I mean, the frauds that he's committed, like long ago, well before he's in office. I say don't touch anything that he's done in office, even though he's probably, you know, done all kinds of criminal stuff in office. But I just think that's just justice. I mean, like, he committed crime. It's like if he murdered somebody before he got in an office, like, and we didn't discover it till later, what, he shouldn't be prosecuted for that? Of course he should. So that's how I feel. I feel like the rape cases against him should go forward. I feel like, you know,
I think those never happen anyway criminally. If they're civilly, yeah, they can go ahead. They already are going ahead. I just don't think that, like, again, he wasn't being charged before he was president. So doing it now would mean he was being charged because he was president.
Maybe. I see what you're, no, I can see that.
Yeah. And you know what? It's beyond both our control. So whatever happens, happens.
This is the man who has wanted to lock up everybody he could in all these years. So I guess I just don't care that much. But do you think he might flee?
No.
You're not going nowhere.
I mean, not unless, I mean, no. I mean, like, I'm curious to see what happens to the Trump Organization. I mean, they have, the finances there were already shaky. He has had some debt forgiven, so maybe that's going to keep him alive. But, like, he no longer has a presidency to offer as, like, possible compensation to his creditors. So
yeah, I don't think Deutsche Bank is going to give him any more extensions once he loses, and I think that's the end of that.
So will his brand be enough to keep the company afloat, or what? We'll see.
I think that's a negative. All right. I guess that's it for us. It's been a long, long week, but it's been an ultimately good week. It's
been the longest goddamn Tuesday of our lives.
Let me just say this. One thing I really did appreciate over the last couple of days is periodically Biden coming out like just like a sweet old grandpa and for like 3 minutes just saying, everybody calm down. I'm here to give you a nice big verbal hug. And we'll be okay.
Let it play out. Things are going well. Just wait. Be patient.
Yeah. We needed that. That was sweet. I like that. Made me happy.
They're playing out the transition very well. They know they're in a good place. And they just got to keep calm and carry on.
Well, look, America, congratulations on your very first female vice president. I won't hold my breath for when the presidency will take place like that. But listen, you got to catch up to so many other countries in the world. You know, we are way, way overdue for this. But that's exciting. That's very exciting.
Well, we're like number one in COVID, so hey. Go us.
All right.
As for the 45th, we'll still be here while that current occupant is still there. But as things seem now, we may be signing off after January. A few months. Oh, yeah.
Yes. I'm so excited for that.
Me too.
I know we've gotten listeners, by the way, saying, okay, we understand why you would like end that, but can you like talk about the other stuff? I don't know. We'll see. But probably not. I'm so worn out by
this. Cooking show. You can cook and I'll eat it. And here. Yeah.
Only if COVID's over, Susan.
Oh, that's true. All right. The post-COVID cooking show is coming your way.
That I can do. Low stress. All right. Thanks so much, Susan. Have a great day. Have a great weekend. America, congratulations.
Happy 2020. This.
Yep. Happy 2020. Maybe it was worth it at the end. All right. Take care, guys. Bye-bye.
A big thanks to all our listeners for tuning in to the 45th podcast week after week. And if you'd like to give us further support, you can do that by becoming a patron at patreon.com/45thpod. By doing so, you can become a supporter and patron for as little as $5 a month. And to do so, again, go to patreon.com/45thpod. A shout out and thank you to our sponsors. They make this program possible. And I urge our listeners to please check out our sponsors and use their products. And thank you to them for helping us produce week after week. Thank you to our audio producer, Hannah McCarthy, our executive producer, Meethal Thelhan. And you can find us on social media. We are on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. Our handle is @45thpod. Our website is www.45thpod.com. Thanks again for tuning in. See you next week.